Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 17, verse 4. Matthew chapter 17, verse 4. Matthew 17, verse 4 reads this way. It says, "Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we ask for your blessing and for the guidance of your Holy Spirit to direct the service tonight and our hearts and minds that we might hear from you and worship you in truth and spirit. Lord, I pray that you would build Northwood Baptist Church tonight, that each member, Lord, would hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Lord, we ask you that you bless each family represented and, Lord, our lives, that we might be the witnesses you've called us to be. And we'll thank you, Lord, for we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is found there in our text verse, and it is, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." You believe that tonight?
Amen.
Lord, it's good for us to be here. And where is that? Well, he was in the very presence of the Lord, right? And anytime we can get in the presence of the Lord, we ought to be reminded that it's a good place to be. And God wants us to take special note of that. The Lord wants to reveal his glory to every believer, but... Let me say that again. The Lord wants to reveal his glory to every believer, but he does not want us to lose sight of him. That's important. God wants to reveal his glory to every one of us, but he never wants us to lose sight of him. Now, there's a lot going on in the world today that if we allow it to, we'll lose sight of the Lord. We'll hear this news over here, and we'll hear that news over there, and we'll maybe have some event take place in our life, and if we're not careful, we'll lose sight of the Lord in the midst of everything. And God wants us to keep our eyes on him just on Sundays. Oh, Sunday evenings too? And every day of the week, right? And so it's important that we keep our eyes upon the Lord and that we seek him and ask him to reveal his will. The Bible tells us it's wise and it's a good thing for us to call upon the Lord to guide us because we don't know what one event, one moment brings into our life. And so may we seek the Lord and walking with him and experiencing the grace of God in our lives because, again, that's where he's glorified. When we are brought to that place of worship, we experience the Lord and his grace, and he wants us to have that. And our family and our church family and the world also is blessed by that as well. I want to look at a couple of things tonight here, and I'll just mention them to you as we go along. And there's an important truth here tonight that God wants us to see and be aware of, because we live in a day and age where truth is a scarce thing. There, if you think about our society today, not very many people are walking in the truth. They talk about a truth, or your truth, or my truth, but they don't say anything about the truth, because there's only one truth. And everything apart from the truth of God is a lie. In fact, it's a deception. Listen, the Bible teaches us and tells us that in the latter days, deception is going to be paramount and prevalent. And we need to be careful, listen, that you and I are not deceived. Is it possible? Is it possible for the child of God to be deceived? Yeah. Listen, our eternal life is in the hand of God, but the daily living life on this side of eternity, we need to guard it and protect it and couple it with the Word of God that we would not be deceived or misled, genuinely misled. Is it possible for God's people to be misled? Was Peter ever misled? More than once. Now listen, I pick on Peter. I really don't pick on him. I relate to Peter. Amen? And I'm glad for Peter's testimony. I'm glad for God's honesty and because he is the truth, but his willingness. You know that this book has not been written by man, because man would not reveal all the flaws in their life. But God has seen fit to reveal it because it gives us hope and understanding. So tonight I want you to see some things concerning being in the place where we can say, Lord, it's good for us to be here. And the first thing that we need to realize is that the Lord is the one that has called us to be separated from the world. So the first thought here in verse 1 is the Lord's separation. Look at verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. So there's a separation, isn't there? They're apart from the other disciples. They're apart from the distractions of the world. God wants us to understand that we need to come apart from the everyday cares of this life to meet with Him. It's important. Now listen, if we're not careful, what we can do is we can say, boy, that's just really time consuming. I don't know if I have time to go apart, get apart, to give God some of my time. Well, how much time do you think God needs you to give Him to go apart every day? I would say if you can set aside 5 minutes, that's a challenge. And here's why. Because God will increase that time. Not, you don't have to increase it. You'll get caught up in it. Make time and at a certain time. If you have to get up at 6 o'clock, give God maybe quarter till six. And give Him 5 minutes. You don't have to give Him the whole 15 minutes. Give Him 5 minutes to speak to you through His Word. Lord, I am coming apart because I'm getting ready to go into the world today. And listen, I want you to understand, preachers are not exempt from being influenced or affected by the world. And so we need to be careful. Do you know, you'll be surprised to hear this. Do you know, I would say, a lot of the same things, if not all of the same things that you experience, I experience too. Listen, none of us are exempt from the trials and difficulties of this life. And so we need God's direction. And so Jesus is taking them apart from their cares, from their responsibilities, from their obligations to do something for them. And here's the truth. Ready? God is wanting you to set some time apart for Him, that He might show you some things that will be a blessing, that will be a help. And so as we move along, realize that there's the separation that the Lord wants us to participate in. And I think that should be done on a daily basis. And now I want you to see the Lord's transfiguration here. This is important, verse 2. And notice, and was transfigured before them. So He took them apart, right? He went to a place apart with them, and now He transfigures Himself before them. Fathom this thought. If we'll take time to set ourselves apart and seek the Lord, the scriptures will be transfigured into an applicable truth, into a truth that will go, that will cause us to do this. I didn't see that before. Wow, listen, that's an important truth that will help me in my daily living and in my walk. God wants to transfigure the Word of God in such a way that it applies to your life. It's a place of sanction. It's a sanctuary that sets us apart, that gives us refuge and peace where there is no peace. The world will never give you peace. The world will never be able to give you anything that's long-lasting. But God can. And God will do that through His Word if we'll trust Him in that. God says, hey, listen, faith comes by the Word of God. Grace comes, guess what? By the Word of God. The power of God, guess what? Comes by the Word of God. And so we find here that the Lord, notice in verse 2, and was transfigured before them, and His face did shine. Would you say that's light? How did it shine? Notice what it says here. Did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light. And God wants us to see. Did God say believers are children of the light? And whose light might that be? It's His light. And so God wants us to walk in that. So this takes place. And notice what happens here in verse 3. It is the Lord's revelation here in verse 3. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with Him. This is a revelation now that they'd never experienced this. Now, here's an interesting thought. Moses lived several hundred years. In fact, I'd say a couple thousand years before Peter, James, and John. And Elijah as well. And now they are experiencing a firsthand, they knew who they were. Isn't that amazing? I am convinced that we will all be known in heaven as we are known. Amen. Is that in the Bible? Mm-hmm. In other words, just like you are known, you know yourself, right? I hope you don't ever get up in the morning and look in the mirror. Well, sometimes maybe I think, who is that? Where'd you come from? But God tells us that we'll be known, that we'll know each other even as we are known. And then I want you to see this revelation here. Now this is what's important here. This is our text. And this thought here in verse 4 is Peter's truth and Peter's mistake. Peter's truth and Peter's mistake. Now remember this morning when I alluded to chapter 16 where the Lord said, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter told him who he was. And Jesus said, "Hey, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you." Listen. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven, gave him that truth. The scriptures are an example for you and I to understand God's recipe for success. Amen? God wants to give you and I a revelation. What is it that makes the believer's life so blessed? God. Amen? It's got to be God. So does God just want us to have this revelation and this blessedness just once a week or every day? So Lord, I want you to do that in my life. And God says, I'm ready. Just waiting for the invitation. God will not infiltrate your life and mine, but he will be invited. And as a child of God, that's our privilege as a joint heir of the Lord Jesus Christ. So now I want you to see Peter's truth and mistake. Here's the truth. Ready? Then answered Peter, and you got to love Peter. All right? I mean, he was the first one, but it was the Lord. It was the Heavenly Father that gave him the revelation that who Jesus Christ was. And so sometimes he gets in front of the Lord, but in that time he didn't. And the Lord educated him. I don't know if Peter fully comprehended that when the Lord said, hey, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, revealed it to you. I think he said, yeah, you're right. You're right. Where did that come from? And now watch this. And this is another revelation. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. That's the truth. That was a true statement. Did Jesus bring all those disciples to give them that feeling, that good feeling, that it was good for us to be here? When you open up the Word of God and God speaks to you, can you not say with Peter, that was good? When you hear a biblical truth that enhances your relationship with the Lord, it's a good thing. Every time we open up the Word of God, God wants to give us good things. And so Peter's right on track here. Now, here's our problem. Ready? We don't wait on the Lord very well. I'll say that for myself. I don't wait very well on the Lord. I'm learning to wait. It's a learned thing. It's not natural. Listen, bless God. The human spirit, do something. Got to go do something. Hey, I got an idea. Let's do this. Hey, I got this idea. Let's do that. It doesn't matter if it's right, wrong, or indifferent. We got to do something. That is a sure way to step in front of God. And God will let you do it. Joshua, the man of God. Do you remember when his neighbors feigned themselves to be of a distant land? You'll find he did not call upon the Lord. You'll find he stepped in front of the Lord and just dealt with it. Well, after all, I'm the leader. They said this, that, the other. Okay, we'll go ahead and take your word for it. And they were misled. You and I can be as well. So notice this in verse 4. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. He was never rebuked for saying that. Here's the problem. If thou wilt. And now he's asking, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Now what was the problem with that? Making three tabernacles, it was so good to Peter, he never wanted to come down. We'll just camp out up here, but that's not the life of the believer. The life of the believer is to glorify and be a witness to the world. And so he got in front of the Lord. Listen, we can come up with some really dandy ideas on how to reach the lost, and not a single one of them will work without the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Not a single one of them. And I'm not saying that coming up with ideas is not the right thing, but I think the first thing we ought to do is, guess what? Ask God. Maybe we ought to stop and say, God, is this what you want me to do? And after all, we've always been doing all these things. We can come up with some crazy ideas. We can. And I'm not saying, and I don't think God is saying that they're bad, that they're wrong. Listen, have you ever driven down the road and seen billboard signs about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus saves. Well, that's true. How many people do you think got saved by looking at that? I don't know. I hope somebody maybe, because somebody's paid money for that. But is that really what God said we should do? No. Listen, what the world needs is a witness. But not just a verbal witness, a changed life. You tell me Jesus changes your life? Do you believe Jesus changes lives? Can he change the life of a drug addict? Can he change the life of somebody who's wrapped up in sin and a wicked lifestyle? Can he change the life of somebody like that? How about your life? Can he change your life? That's where we want to put the brakes on. Well, what? God wants to change our lives, not by our effort or power, but by his. I would dare say it would be a worthy venture to seek the Lord and say, God, explain to me the new life. Explain to me, and watch what he does. Listen, asking God to show us what he meant by eternal life for you and I. God, what exactly did you mean? I know I have a home in heaven, but how about now? After I have the eternal life, what is it that you're wanting to do in my life? Do you think that's all God did was just give us eternal life and that was the end of it? I dare say as you read the Word of God, you'll find there's so much more that's wrapped up in there. If all it was eternal life, he would have been done with the 12 disciples after they got saved. But see, he was telling them there's a new life to be enjoyed on this side of eternity. So Peter's mistake was he didn't seek the Lord in that. Didn't wait on the Lord and didn't seek God for wisdom. Lord, what is it? What do you want us to do? Why? What was the purpose of bringing us here? And I want you to see God's correction here in verse 5. While he yet spake, so you got to get this. Peter is saying, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Then if thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles. And while he's speaking, the Bible says, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, and picture this, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. Stop doing the talking, hear him. And when the disciples heard it, so this is all instantaneously, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. If we heard the voice of God, I think we would be right there with them. If it wasn't for the regenerated body that God is going to give us one day, not a single soul would be able to stand in his presence because of his holiness. It's not that our mortal flesh cannot handle the glory of God. Listen, our mortal flesh cannot handle the glory of God. Why would we think our mortal minds can discern the wisdom of God without his aid and help? Well, we'll do this and we'll do that. And I think Peter slowed down a little bit after the resurrection, don't you? All right. So they were sore afraid. But look at this correction. Look at the glory and grace of God in verse 7. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. Isn't that good? Amen. Listen, if you seek the Lord, you won't make a mistake. Let me qualify that a little bit. You will not make a mistake that God will not direct into the right way. Does that make sense? We honor God when we seek him. We honor God when we seek him. God, I want you to bring me to those places in my daily life where I can say, Lord, it's good for me to be here. And then I want you to guide my steps so that I don't start stepping out in front of you and making plans that aren't yours. So look at verse 8. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Isn't that good? God says, hey, that's where our focus is at. In the Word of God, in the Old Testament, it's been a constant revelation of the Messiah, the Son of God, to come. In the New Testament, it's the Messiah revealed. It's the Savior revealed. Do you know what the whole book about, the Bible, do you know what all 66 books are about? God's grace through His Son. God's grace through His Son. And so He was wanting them to understand that they were in a good place. God was correcting them, and they weren't afraid. And then I want you to see the Lord's timing and charge. And we're going to finish right here, verse 9. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them. This is God's timing. Saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. So He's giving them directions. Does God want us to have direction as well? There are some things that God wants us to do this with. Ready? I don't understand it, but this is what God said about it, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm all right. Do you think they completely understood? I have so many times people say, why did Jesus tell them not the people that He healed not to say anything? Well, we could speculate all day long, but here's one thing that we do know. God said, don't do it. Whether it makes any sense to us or not, God said, don't do it. Now, some went out and did it anyway. We could speculate maybe because they would come for the wrong reason or whatever the case might be, that they would come just for the physical healing. But God said, don't do it. And so may you and I be at peace when God says, this is what I want you to do. This is the way to walk. Walk in that. This is where I want you to refrain from. Look at what the world's doing. That's not the direction that you want to go into. God wants us to have the right outlook on what life is all about. And the only way that we can do that is for God to bring us to those places to where we can say, it's good for us to be here. And God wants to do that through His Word. God wants to reveal His glory, again, listen, to every believer, but He never wants us to lose sight of the Son of God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be able to see Jesus in every direction that we believe God is leading us into. We ought to be able to see that God will be glorified in this. And listen, God has chosen, I don't understand this, God has chosen to glorify Himself through our lives. Not in sin, but in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Does God want to bear fruit through your life and mine? He said, abide in me. Did He not? For without me you can do what? But if you abide in Him, everything's possible. So listen, if you want to be in that place to where we can say, Lord, it's good for us to be here, it's in Him, isn't it? It's abiding in Him. And when we're abiding in Him, guess what we're going to experience? The fruit of the Spirit. That's going to bring us to that place where we would say, my Heavenly Father gave me that. My Heavenly Father did that. And then when we go through the difficult times, we'll be able to reflect back on every time. When we face a trial, we'll be able to look back on God's great faithfulness in your life and mine. God wants us all to be a witness and a testimony, not just because we say it, but because the world can look and see there's a difference in our lives. And that's how the gospel goes forward and turns the world upside down, because people can hear one thing, but when they see it, see, that's the witness. And by the way, listen, that's the witness we need too. Because when I see it in my life, and I know it's not, again, one more time, real quick. When the Lord said, flesh and blood, Peter, hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Do you think Peter understood it? Do you think Peter said, yeah, I see that. You and I will too when we see the Spirit of God working through us and doing things that we can't do. So, this week, do you want God to bring you to the place where you can say, where we can say, God, it's good for us to be here. We'll find that through His Word, amen, and by His Spirit. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne. Lord, we thank You for Your mercy, Your grace, and Your love to each and every one of us. And we thank You, Lord, because it's Your righteousness that You desire to bring us into these places where we can say it's good for us to be here. Bless the invitation, Lord. Open up our hearts and minds that we might seek You and expect great things because You are truly a great God. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.